Well, last Sunday, I began sharing a word with us about hearing God, listening to God. And we continued during the week practicing the presence of God and just hearing what God has to say to us. And it was, for me, a very fruitful experience, and I believe it was so for so many others that were able to come and participate in that particular time that God granted us, which we wrapped up rather yesterday evening. This morning, I want to continue discussing that same subject. And I'd like you to come with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. It is imperative in these last days that we are absolutely aware of our environment, that we are very aware of what is happening around us, that the grace of God operating in our lives keeps us in a state where we have viewership. Now, when I say viewership, I mean the ability to see, to view, to see what's happening around you. You know, it is an amazing experience to walk with God and to see what God shows. I remember many years ago, God taking me. I was still where I was physically, but it was like I was taken and I was in the midst of a group of believers, church members, and I was listening to all of their conversation. Every single thing they were saying, good, bad, or ugly. I was there. I heard everything. God just took me. And I listened. And I heard. I saw and heard all the ugly things they said. And I saw them on Sunday. And it was like I didn't hear anything. I just loved on them. In spite of what I heard. I learned that very early in my walk with God. Because one of the things God did for me when I got saved was that He gave me seeing eyes. I could see very clearly. And so, but the problem was I was not mature enough to handle what I saw. And so I used to call out people on whatever it is that they did wrong. If I saw somebody coming to church and is shouting hallelujah, I can go up straight to them and say, listen, what are you doing? You're here, hallelujah. Didn't I see you over there? And is that not what you were doing? And one day the Lord, you know, showed up. It was like I was in a school setting, a school that I graduated high school from. And I saw this guy walking towards me, and he comes and he grabs my glasses. I think I might have told this story before. He grabs my glasses and takes it from me, and I want to slap this guy. And he says, do you know who you're trying to hit? I said, I don't care. He says to me, I'm the angel of the Lord. He says, when you're mature enough, we'll return your glasses. I became as blind as a bat. I could see nothing. Could see nothing. For years, I could see nothing. And then once in a while, he'll put the glasses on and I'll see. And then we'll take it off and I'll see. And so that experience was an experience for me to check me out whether I was mature enough. Now that you know, What are you going to do? I kept my mouth shut and I loved. And that is the way to live your life in God. That is the way to escape every plan and every strategy of the enemy. Something I want you to know about where you are is that this is not just a gathering place. This is a training center for your spirit. A place where you should learn of the things of God, how to move in the spirit, and to war under the grace of that anointing. Amen? You and I need to see. You need to see. It's important. You cannot be a child of God and be blind. God is not blind. God is not blind. And if you're created in His image and likeness, you absolutely have to see. If you walk blindly through this life, you'll be crushed. If you walk deaf, you'll be crushed. You need to see. You need to hear. It is the place of empowerment. Blind people have to depend on other people. You cannot afford to be there any longer. None of us here can afford to stay in the state of blindness or deafness. Your spiritual senses have to be activated. Amen? You are a spiritual being before you are natural. Hallelujah? And when you got born again, you became totally spiritual. You say, what do you mean by that? Exactly what I said. You became totally spiritual. Everything about you, when you got born again, became totally spiritual. Everything you do. Everything. Let me put it this way to you. In the tabernacle, which had three parts to it, there was the outer court, and then there was the inner court, and the innermost court, or the Holy of Holies. So you had the outer court where the sacrifices and everything else happened, and then you had the holy place that had the table of showbread, it had the candlesticks, and it had the altar where prayers that represent the place of prayers was set. And then there was a curtain. And behind that curtain was the Holy of Holies. Now, those three parts represent your physical flesh. The holy place represents your soul. And the Holy of Holies represents your spirit. Are you with me so far? Now, all of that has to do with Jesus, but it's still the same demarcations for your spirit, soul, and body. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, and He pronounced, "It is finished," something happened to the curtain. The curtain split. God turned. And all of a sudden, the Holy of Holies invaded the holy place. Invaded the outer court, so to speak. Are you with me? So the supernatural now began to impact the soul realm and began to impact the physical realm. So for the child of God, everything becomes spiritual because it is supernatural. It comes from above and begins to impact every aspect of your person. So the move of God by the realm of the Spirit must impact your thinking, must impact your intellect, must impact every action that you take, and must impact your physical body. That's why sickness and disease have no right to inhabit my body, because the power of God, heaven has descended, and the presence of God has impacted every realm of my life. Somebody shout hallelujah. That same grace impacts the heavens, the earth, and under the earth. Glory be to God. So in every realm, the Lordship of Jesus Christ must be declared. Everything must confess that Jesus is Lord. God has invaded every realm of your life, your business, your body, your marriage, your children. Everything about you has been invaded by God. To God be the glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no place for the devil. Absolutely no place for the devil. And because you know the goodness of God, that's why you are bold at all times. You see a bold man, you see a man who has met God and has a relationship with God and does not look at the man or man's face, because it is not man that does anything, it is God all the way. Amen? Hallelujah. He's still able to turn stones to bread if he wants to. Because if he turned water into wine, it's because he is in charge. He's in control. Hallelujah. But foolish man thinks they can ambush God. Oh, glory. Wow. Only foolish people think they can outmaneuver God. Foolish people. Foolish people. Because they, see, they are foolish because they do not know that there is a God. Foolish people think they have you figured out. Foolish people. And so it was in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. Making his plans. But the Bible says, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. Don't go there. The Syrians are over there. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. He checked it out. Is this guy serious? When did you go over there? I saw you yesterday. That place is far. How do you know what they're doing over there? Who told you? Forget about who told me. I know what they are doing. So he checks it out, and sure enough, the Syrians are there. So over and over again, this happens. And now the Bible says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Who is betraying us? Who's WikiLeaks here? Huh? Yeah. Who's telling on us?
Oh, yeah. Oh, before WikiLeaks, there was a God. Hallelujah. Who is exposing our secret? Who's doing this? You know what I like about God? When you ask a question, he has an answer. He says, and one of his servants, watch this, one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel." How did he know? How on earth did this guy know that it was Elisha that was pumping out the secrets? Because you see, this same God that you're talking about will speak through your enemy their defeat. Hear it. He did it with Gideon. God will put into the mouth of your enemy his defeat. So this man says, he prophesies. He says, nobody else but Elisha. Elisha is your problem, king. It is Elisha that telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. That's what God did when he took me and took me and brought me into a state, and I could hear every discussion. Now I know when Johnny is going to do what Johnny is going to do. And when Johnny thinks I'm going to come this way, I move like this. And the bullet passes by. And I continue. That was close shot. How? Psst. Because I know before you know what you're going to do. Hallelujah. God, when you acknowledge God in all of your ways, he directs your path. It is not an easy thing for a man of God to fall into a trap. It's not easy. He must have been practicing deafness. But when you're silent before God, you'll always walk in divine victory under the grace of God. He directs you. He maneuvers you through every situation. And your enemy cannot figure it out. Do you know how many people are going gray and wrinkled, wondering, why is that pastor still there? How is he making it? None of your business. God is altogether faithful. God knows what he's doing every single time. Hallelujah. So why worry about anything? Yeah, I get some gray, but I color it. Mind your business. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Too much information. It's nobody else but Elisha. Really? And he said, go. Watch this. And he said, go and spy where he is. Go find out where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Dothan is a place of two wells. He says, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. They surrounded the entire city looking for one man. Now, if the guy knows what you are planning on doing before you do it and wants the king, what are you planning to do? You're going to catch the guy who already knows what you're thinking? See the foolishness of man? Yes, go spy out where he is. And we're going to catch him. You bring a whole army. He says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early, you know, sometimes it's not a matter of whether you rise early or rise late. It's a matter of the relationship that you have with God. He says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Wait a minute. Who is this? What is that? My transmitter is picking up all kinds of stuff. Wow. It's picking up a radio station. Christian radio station. Wow, I'm preaching, man. I'm preaching. Well, anyway, praise God. You know what? Let me shut this off and let me use this. It's not my phone. It is my transmitter. Oh, it is my phone. Whatever that is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It says, watch this. Therefore sent he thee the horses, and chariots, and compassed the place around. And the servant of Elisha wakes up early, sees the enemy. Well, they are encompassing the whole city. Listen to this now. You see, because the devil mimics God. Remember what I said earlier. God will cause your enemies to speak their defeat. Remember that? Guess what the devil does? Exactly the same thing. He causes you to speak defeat from the basis of fear out of your mouth. He cannot do anything in your life. He cannot successfully accomplish anything in your life until you come into agreement with it. Never come into agreement with your circumstance. No matter how real it looks, until you come into agreement with it, it is not your portion. If you agree with it, it is yours. I remember many years ago, the enemy was threatening me with death. He said, I'm going to kill you. You're causing me so much trouble. I said, I am not killable. Hallelujah. I will not die until I fulfill my assignment. And secondly, I will not die until I'm fully satisfied of living. Amen. But when did the enemy have the boldness to come tell me he was going to kill me? Because with my own mouth, at that time I used to think 40 was old. I was upset about something, and I said, I think I was about, 25 or 28, something like that. I said, when I'm 40, I want to die. Tired of this nonsense. And the devil came to collect. I repented of my words. But when I turned 40, there the devil was, ready to take me out. Even though I'd already rejected it, because I agreed with his thinking at a particular point, he still thought he had the right. So he tried one way and the other. And I remember one day, I am in my living room. Mama and children were already in bed. And here comes a heart attack. Boom. And for the first time in my life, I heard the devil laugh. He laughed. He said, I'm going to kill you. You're dead today. And when your wife comes
down tomorrow morning, they will see you here dead. I was killing over, almost ready to give up. I said, no, not today. In the name of Jesus, I sprung up. I stood. I said, devil, you're a liar. You'll not take me. At that time, we were working on our immigration stuff. And part of what we needed to do was to something with immigration, I think it was. I had to do medical. And I went to the doctor. And so I laid down. The Lord spoke to me. He said, son, your heart is about to beat funny, but be at peace, you're fine. So the doctor comes with his stethoscope, and as soon as he put it on my chest, my heart started to beat funny. He jumps back. He says, get dressed right now. Go downstairs immediately. I said, what's wrong? He said, forget about what's wrong. Go downstairs right now. I knew what was wrong. But God had forewarned me about what was about to happen. What the enemy wanted was for me to come into agreement with a funny heartbeat, and from that day, I will have heart problems. That's what he wanted to do. But God had already beaten him to the punch and told me what not to do. Are you with me? Somebody listening?
Yes.
Okay. So I did the test, and sure, my heart was perfectly okay, no problems, and so on and so forth, and I continued. But the enemy will want to pronounce your defeat. Well, there's a military force all over around the city. How do you know that it's for Elijah? Or for Elisha? Or for any prophet? How do you know it's not for the king or for anybody else? Oh, because the enemy wants to cause you to say with your mouth. And so, he said mouthing off and telling Elijah about all these military forces. And Elijah says to him in verse 16, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. We are not discounting the fact that they are here, but we've got more people on our side than they've got. What are you talking about? You, me, them. The two of us and the thousands of them over there. What are you talking about? Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. So Elisha was saying something that his servant could not see. He woke up early in the morning but could not see. Even while Elisha was still sleeping and snoring, Elisha was still seeing. And he with his open eyes cannot see. All he could see was problems. Elisha says, no. We've got more with us than they've got. Hallelujah. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he what? Saw. God has to open your eyes so you can see. He had eyes, but he could not see. If he didn't have eyes, there was nothing to open. It's nothing to open if you don't have eyes. So he had eyes that were shut. He was awake physically, but he was asleep spiritually. The word of God says, awake you that sleep. It's time to wake up. Because when you are asleep, you are just as the blind person. Open his eyes. The Bible says his eyes got open. The Lord opened his eyes, and what did he say? What did he say? The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he what? And he saw. And the Lord opened their eyes. It's going to say later. It says they opened his eyes and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Round about whom? But he had a servant. But the chariots of fire around Elijah. So you can be with somebody and be by yourself. The chariots of fire round about Elijah. And when they were come down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, smite these people, I pray thee, with blindness. You know, some people need to be blind. Your enemies must be blind. Amen. Amen. So they are blind. But what are they blind? What is this blindness? This blindness is the blindness that causes them not to recognize their environment. Hear this. It's a blindness that causes them not to recognize their environment. You know, when you've got an enemy, they have to be blind so that they do not recognize the environment they are in. Because if they recognize it, they will steal everything. Huh? They can be around gold, silver, diamonds, rubies, emeralds, tanzanite, whatever, and not recognize it. They just think it's gravel. It's just a bunch of rocks. But you see what you see. Hallelujah. You see what you see. You know what you know. And you cannot be deceived. But they are blind. They are blinded. And now they do not see, because the Bible says, he said, smite these people. The Bible says when your enemies come at you in one way, God will bring them before you and smite them before your face. He brings them before you and smites them face. When he smites your enemy before your face, he blinds them. They don't see anything. They don't hear anything. They don't recognize whatever it is that's around. Because if they recognize it, Lot will stay with you and you will not see your fullness. Do you understand? Blindness causes you to see only what you need to see. Causes you only to see in the natural realm, but not into the realm of the spirit. Do you know what's around you? Do you know what God has planned for you and for your family, for your business, for the place of your employment, planned for your church, your ministry, your calling, for your children? What do you know? You're going to fall into one or two categories. The people that see or the people that are blind. My prayer for you is that God blinds every enemy around you. My prayer for you is that God opens your eyes to see the wealth of resources that God has placed before you. Amen? That which is hidden from you is made manifest.
smote them. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. Well, you were seeking him, he says, you're looking for somebody else, not me. But he led them to Samaria, and it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. They are now in the heat, in the center of their enemy's camp. Now the king says, hey, should I wipe them up? Kill them right now? Elisha says, oh, no. I want you to be kind to them. I want you to be kind to them. Feed them and send them home. Now, there are times when God says, kill them all. But here God says, just give them some food, send them on. And the next statement is remarkable. It says, verse 23, and he prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So, it says, the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. The bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. The troop of Syria no longer came into the land of Israel. But you know what? It will seem like a contradiction, because the next verse talks about King Ben-Hadad of Syria coming and besieging Samaria. What is going on? Just one verse? Is it true that they never came again? So what is this other one? And why is Samaria being besieged? And why are the children of Israel now eating their own children? What's going on? Stay tuned next time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I could you please get me the young people? Need to do something for them. I know I'm disrupting their classes this morning. I want to pray for the young ones, the young adults. I just want primarily the young adults. Praise God. While they are getting them to come, I want us to do two things today. I want the young adults, they can just stay to the side for now. Young adults, not the little ones, young adults. I want us to pray. I want us to commit ourselves right now. Teenagers, yes. Teenagers and up. To about 35. That's why I say young adults.
You can just sit to the side until we finish. Now, for everyone here, I want us to make a connection right now. We've talked about, all of this week, we've talked about the ability to see. That our eyes be open. Our eyes be open so that we see. Our ears attentive to the hearing and to the words of the Lord. The reason this is of utmost importance is this. If you can't hear from God, you really don't have any way to know how to obey Him. And it is obedience that is the seed to true fruitfulness in life. Your obedience. Not just your hearing or your sin, but your obedience. But if you don't have hearing, you can't obey. If you don't have sight, you can't obey. The Bible says, observe to do. Hearken to observe to do. We have to observe what God is saying and then do what God is saying. And from that comes every blessing that God wants for us to experience in Him. So I want us to pray today for that ability to see. I want that ability to be present with our young ones. That's why we're going to lay hands on them. They see. Bible says about the young men shall do what? See what? Visions. We need to see. When you see visions, you become visionary. Amen? God gives you a clarity about things that you can walk towards because you see it. Other people may not see it, but you see it. That's why when God shows you something, don't spend your time arguing with people who can't see what you see. What are you wasting your time on? You can see it. That is sufficient. They don't see it because they're blind to it. The best thing you can do for them is, God, open their eyes so they see. But what is important is that you see. Amen? It's important that we all see, because if you don't see, you will resist the Spirit of God. You resist the will of God. You find yourself confronting that which God wants to do. You find yourself sabotaging what God wants to do because you are blind. You don't see. You start restraining that which God wants to accomplish. You don't want to ever be in that place. Amen? We got to see. And second thing we're going to pray is this. God, blind every enemy. Let them not see what you're showing to me. And scatter them. He says He will smite them and then scatter them in seven directions. Amen? Let whoever and whatever is meant to be blinded to the realities that you have for me. But Lord, don't keep them around me so that they stop or slow down whatever it is you want me to do. Drive them far away from me. Scatter them. Amen? That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Those that can see, let them stay with me so they can see. Open his eyes, and the guy saw. And guess what? He followed Elisha. Because you could see God's hand is around this man. He is the man. I better stay around him. Because as long as I stay around him, I got chariots of fire around me too. Amen? He loves me, so he's the one who said, open his eyes. He's going to release those chariots to fight for me too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, place your hands on your eyes, your physical eyes, as a point of contact. And say with me, Lord, thank you for eyes. I have spiritual eyes. And I declare by faith that you, O God, that loves me, that these eyes will not stay shut anymore. They are now open. I can see. I can see. I can see. I can see. Because you have opened my eyes to see. I have seeing eyes. My eyes are doing what you anointed them to do. These eyes see. They are not blind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for seeing eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I want you to do this other thing. Remember, blindness is not just physical, it is the ability not to recognize the environment. You want your enemies not to recognize the environment. Whoever the enemy has sent to come after you, not to recognize the environment that they are in until the fullness of time, when you want your eyes to be open to recognize. Because if they recognize the environment, they will capture you. They will steal from you because they see the value around you, and they will circumvent and sabotage whatever it is that's around you. But as long as they don't recognize where they are at, and they don't recognize the resources that God has placed around you, there's nothing to sabotage. You understand? Do you understand? Somebody cannot come into your business and know your business. They'll be so... Everything is in view and they don't see nothing. KFC is still KFC because they have secret ingredients. You go there all the time, but you don't know the ingredients. You eat the food, but you don't know the ingredients. So shall your enemies be. They will not recognize the ingredients. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is somebody listening in here? The enemy can come and see nothing, nada. Your books are open, but they see nothing. They're blind. The devil and his cohorts will not peer into your future. In the name of Jesus, every enemy that will seek to sabotage your life or the life of your children, I don't care where they go, what rituals they do, they will see nothing but their destruction. When they try to peep into your life, they will be filled with fear and they will flee in every direction because they are smitten
in Jesus' mighty name. You are not going to read my future. You are not going to read my children's future. You're not going to read the future of the partners of this ministry and church members. You will not see anything but your own disaster. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so done. Hallelujah.